In tight housing markets like the one in Orange County, California, finding an affordable apartment is a struggle for just about anyone. But for foster children turning 18, it's all but impossible. Ready or not, they're essentially on their own. Many wind up homeless. Others end up in jail. And like most communities, Orange County's network of charities and community groups is overwhelmed. There's too little know-how and not nearly enough money to give the hundreds of foster youth who age out of the system every year a leg up. And that's where a group of local businessmen comes in. NPR's Ina Jaffe has the second part of our series on the importance of home in the lives of some of the neediest Americans.
When Steve Rodriguez turned 18, he became, in official terms, emancipated, free of Orange County's foster care system, free to find a place to live, free to find a job, and free to find his own way in the world with hardly a dime to his name or a family to fall back on.
So I ended up on the streets for a while, and so I'd bounce back and forth from house to house. They'd let me take a shower there if I needed it, or I would stay in a park or a laundry space. I guess I really didn't make it on my own for a while.
Steve's story isn't all that unusual for teens who age out of the foster care system. In their first few years of independence, at least a quarter experience homelessness. Fewer than half find steady employment, and 60% of the young women give birth. With no permanent place to stay, Steve had trouble keeping a job and had some run-ins with the law.
It's hard not to when you're walking the streets, or some of the only friends you can make, some of the only people that will take you in are people that use drugs. Or a lot of the friends I had, their parents wouldn't really watch them or watch who was going in and out of the house. So it was kind of a bad environment.
These days, Steve says, he stays home in the evening, and he smiles when he says it. That's because for the past few months, he's had a home, his first in 3 years. He shares a simply furnished two-bedroom place in a rambling apartment complex located in Garden Grove, one of about 36 cities that make up Orange County's notorious sprawl. The apartment complex is part of the Rising Tide program that provides transitional housing for former foster kids like Steve, who when they turned 18 had to hit the streets. There's nothing warm and cozy, however, about the scheme that resulted in Steve's new home. The blueprint for Rising Tide is fundamentally a business plan, complete with task assignments, timelines, and a complicated flowchart.
Well, good morning. Nicely done. You guys are awake.
And it all started here at Mariners Church in Irvine, a casual, contemporary congregation with 10,000 members.
And how God reached down and saved them. Right now, we're going to open by singing, "Lord, Reign in Me," and that's our prayer.
Over all, and over all the earth, you reign on high.
The six men who formed Rising Tide all attend church here. Dick Ochnauer speaks for the group.
One of the things that we're trying to explore here is to develop a vehicle by which men and women of faith can give back beyond just giving funds.
The men in Rising Tide had been there and done that, given to charities and served on their boards. They're all extremely successful, real estate developers, investment consultants. Dick Ochnauer is the vice chairman of a company that supplies McDonald's with burgers, buns, and special sauce. He says the members of Rising Tide were taken with an idea that's been growing in popularity in philanthropic circles. It's known as social venture capital, or social entrepreneurship. Instead of just donating money, the members of Rising Tide wanted to invest it, to target a problem in their community and use their financial resources and business skills to solve it. Period. Dick Ochnauer says that creating transitional housing for the 200 to 300 young people who leave Orange County's foster care system each year seemed doable.
There aren't very good statistics on this, but about 25% of the youth are going to make it on their own. They're pretty well destined to either go on to college or they're going to a job, and they don't need this program. Then there's another bottom 25% or so that have some very significant issues that need far more structure than we can provide. So what we targeted was that middle 50%.
Using their expertise in real estate and finance, the members of Rising Tide devised a unique strategy. First, purchase a large apartment complex, about 80 units. The money for the down payment may come from foundation grants, banks, or the members of Rising Tide themselves. then make all the apartments affordable for low-income people. This way, the project's eligible for financing with low-interest bonds. Then, explains Dick Gucknauer, they set aside just 10 apartments, enough to house 18 former foster kids and one on-site counselor.
One of the founding principles was that the kids needed not to go into another group home. They needed to be integrated into society, and therefore they should move into a facility that is like anybody else would live. They needed to be just part of a larger community.
Rising Tide has two apartment communities so far, and they're looking for more. It could take as many as 8 to meet the need. Gucknauer says they've been working on this since the late 1990s, when housing for young adults leaving foster care was a hot topic in Orange County's social service community.
And the people that were involved in various agencies that touched this issue decided, well, the solution is we'll get all these agencies together. And so they had this huge meeting and spent, you know, tremendous amount of energy getting together and discussing the problem, and which led to more meetings and more meetings. By the time they were finished with, like, the third meeting, we had already purchased our first apartment building.
That was the Flanders Point complex in the city of Tustin.
Low-income housing complexes don't have to be a tenement house kind of approach. This is a place that anyone, I think, could feel comfortable living.
Gene Howard makes this observation as he shows off the pool and gardens at Flanders Point. He's head of the Orangewood Children's Foundation, which is a partner in the Rising Tide program. Orangewood has been working with abused and neglected kids in Orange County since 1980. Teaching life skills to the ones leaving foster care has been a big part of their mission. But Howard says lack of housing for these young people kept sabotaging efforts to help them.
Because you really can't be successful in school unless you have a stable housing situation. It's pretty difficult to maintain a job, and you certainly can't form the kind of long-lasting permanent relationships that will help you through the tough times if you're constantly moving from one place to another. And what we found that most of our youth were ending up doing was couch surfing, in essence finding a kind person, imposing on them for a while, wearing out their welcome, and having to go find somebody else. And so I think housing is the key to success for these youth.
The Rising Tide business plan is creating stability not only for the former foster kids, but also for the Orangewood Children's Foundation. The rents from the apartments provide a steady stream of money to pay for the services Orangewood provides. And over time, as the debt on the buildings goes down and the rents rise with inflation, the money will create an endowment for Orangewood. Howard says it'll save his organization from the vicious fundraising cycle that plagues so many charities.
You go from one golf tournament to a ball. You go from the ball to a fashion show. You just continually move through very draining special events. You also end up writing constantly for grants. Most foundations won't give you more than about 3 years worth of funding. So we've seen a number of programs having to be terminated just because there's no funding available.
The Rising Tide model could be adapted for other groups of people in need of transitional housing, says Howard, but it wouldn't work just anywhere. The apartment complexes need to be almost fully occupied for the finances to make sense. So you need a housing market as tight as Orange County's. The vacancy rate for rentals here is less than 3%, and the average apartment rents for more than $1,200 a month, making the need for affordable housing especially urgent. But in generally affluent Orange County, cities don't always welcome it, says Jeff Thomas, the mayor of Tustin.
Part of the problem that you get is a misunderstanding amongst the public. They think the minute that you start building affordable housing, you're immediately going to bring in problems that are going to have the police attend to it. And so they have a tendency to say, no, we don't want that here.
Nevertheless, the city of Tustin decided to support the Flanders Point project. Without that approval, it wouldn't have qualified for those all-important low-interest bonds. Mayor Thomas says it's a trade-off for the city. On the one hand, affordable housing doesn't pay property taxes, so the city loses money. But he believes that the Flanders Point apartments make it up in other ways.
Well, sales tax revenue, obviously, when you attract people to the area. Secondarily, they renovated the project, and we believe it actually improved the neighborhood.
And just to seal the deal, Rising Tide agreed to pay Tustin an annual makeup fee, almost equal to what the city would have received in property taxes anyway. budgets, bonds, and the tax base are far from the minds of the kids in the Rising Tide program as they gather for their weekly meeting. Each Wednesday, they get together to talk about work, about school, about learning to trust each other. On this night, they're sitting in a bare space inexplicably called the recreation room. Social worker Megan Bedsworth introduces a nervous young woman named Jennifer. Jennifer's just applied to the Rising Tide program, though, as Megan tells everyone, she hasn't been accepted yet.
I mean, she's kind of at a crazy point right now. You know, what would you...
Tell her
getting ready to graduate, emancipate, come into a new place. You guys have gone through this.
Just rely on the people that are around you. Ask them, they've been through it. I got out of class at 11 o'clock on my 18th birthday, and the group home said, you know, goodbye. You're 18. You can't be here anymore. So, I mean, I'm like, okay. And then, I mean, I was lucky enough to be able to move in here the next day.
Stick with it, because there are a lot of opportunities. The worst thing you can do in this program is not take advantage of it.
There's so many people here that's gone through what you've been through. No one's going to turn their back on you. You know, there's people here who's been through what you've been through.
Throughout the meeting, Steve Rodriguez sits silently with his arms folded across his chest, his hands pinned under his arms. After just a few months here, he isn't yet ready to offer Jennifer advice. He's still mastering the most elementary challenges of his own new life.
You know, I got to get myself up, make my own meals. If I miss something, it's my fault. I've been taking the bus to work, so it's been a big new experience, you know, just like a blessing. I mean, I'm really lucky to be in this program and get the chance to show people I know that if I got the chance to have a permanent place to stay, I would go to work.
When he gets up in the morning, Steve goes to a paid training program in carpentry. He likes it. He also knows he has to be ready to leave this place and live a truly independent life in 18 months. A construction job could be the ticket.
It's pretty interesting to me. I like working with my hands. You know, I like making things look perfect. Kind of like a perfectionist that has to be right. And I like, you know, looking at my work afterwards and saying, oh yeah, I did that, I built that.
When Steve imagines the future, the pictures are still fuzzy. There's a lot more he wants to learn. But he thinks he'd like to have his own business someday, building houses. He knows he'd like to build a home of his own. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Orange County, California.